We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. It's Bruce Hall. I've got Gary Myers. Gary Myers, the author of Coaching Confidential, Inside the Fraternity of NFL Coaches. You can pick this up on at Amazon.com. If you're in New York, you can probably pick it up at Barnes & Noble or any other bookstore. Gary, thanks for being on with us. It's very rare that I'm able to talk to, you know, it's funny. I'm a visual guy, and I can see you right now because I saw you for years and years on television. Just a great insider, know what's going on with the game. Let me ask you one thing, and then we'll jump to the Giants, okay? We've been talking about the New York Jets. For those of you that are just turning on, I'm on the phone with Gary Myers, New York Daily News columnist. Great column. Gary, Tim Tebow. You know, I like Tim Tebow. I loved him in college. Yeah, he's not your typical NFL quarterback, but look what he did in Denver in such a very short period of time, in a situation where they had to win games to go to the playoffs. What happened in New York, as far as you know?
Well, he just never really got an opportunity to play with the Jets last season. And I think part of that was based on the fact that when they got him out on the practice field in the OTAs minicamp last year, that they got scared because he doesn't throw the football very well. And they just didn't feel that they could, you know, put him into any really meaningful situations where they have to count on him to throw the ball. So as a result, you know, his playlist was really limited to, you know, run the ball between the tackles, just putting his head down and running it like that when the defense knew exactly what was coming. I thought it was an ill-conceived plan from the beginning. I'm not a Tebow guy in terms of thinking he can ever be a really successful quarterback in the NFL. When he had that playoff run, like you mentioned, Bruce, with the Broncos a couple of years ago, some of those games were miracle games, you know, complete aberrations that just happened to be strung together that got him into the playoffs. But I think that he has a very limited skill set as a quarterback, and I'm not exactly sure what Bill Belichick, you know, has planned for him in New England, because you know that they're not taking Brady off the field. And unless Tebow has had a change of heart and is willing to play a different position, and, you know, they might have some playing time available at tight end, depending on what happens, you know, with Hernandez and then, you know, Gronkowski coming off four wrist surgery. I mean, surgeries on his arm, which he broke in November, and then recently had back surgery. So unless Tebow is willing to play another position, I don't really see him getting on the field this year with the Patriots.
No, I totally agree. And I think one of the reasons they took him is just his athletic ability and the fact that he didn't cost him anything, really. You know, the kid, it's funny, Sporting News came out last year. You may have even seen this issue. The top, 200 players in college football in the NFL in the last, you know, since its inception. And guess who number one quarterback was? And number two, I want to say, was Roger Staubach, and number three was Sammy Baugh. Number one was Tim Tebow, and it was based only on college results and college numbers. But I totally agree with you. Last question on the Jets. So we're gonna jump to the Giants, Gary. Okay, do they have a shot at winning 9 or 10 games this year and making the playoffs?
No, I don't think so. I think you're looking at a, you know, potentially another 6-10 season, or even, you know, a game or two worse than that. Which is what happens when you completely turn over the personnel. I mean, you just can't get it turned around in one season with young players like they're trying to do. But the biggest thing is they need to come out of this season either feeling really good about Mark Sanchez or feeling really good about Geno Smith. That's the goal of this season. They need to know who their quarterback is. Otherwise, they're going to have to draft another one next April. Now, they could have a top 5 pick in the draft next year, and, you know, it's too soon to say, you know, how many quarterbacks would be worth taking that high. You know, people talk about Teddy Bridgewater from Louisville, but, you know, I don't know. I have to admit, I don't know enough about him to say that what he did last year it will be sustainable this year, and then he'll become, you know, top of the first round pick. But I would say that, again, the goal of the Jets this year has to be either to establish Geno Smith as a winning type quarterback in the NFL, or somehow the new offense that they're installing, and then the first legitimate competition that Sanchez is facing, helps him turn the corner and kind of get back to the way he played in the playoffs.
Right.
His first 2 years. He wasn't great during the regular season his first 2 years, but he was really good in the playoffs. And somehow they have to get him back to playing like that.
Yeah, and personnel plays such a big part of that. And they really have a lot of holes, especially in their offense right now. Sean Green didn't have a terrible year for a running back, but, I mean, you know, they were usually, you know, he wasn't a factor because a lot of times they were behind. You know, I'm not a big Sanchez fan. I want to say that his rating was somewhere in the mid-60s. I mean, that's tough to do. You would think that Geno Smith could do that in his sleep, but you don't know. He needs receivers. All right, let's talk about the Giants. What on earth? You know, I picked the Giants to win the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You probably didn't know that. It wasn't like national news, but I picked them in November and then, or October, and then they lost four games in a row. People were calling right in, and they were telling me I was out of my mind. What's wrong with me? And I said, look, they've got the team potentially to win this thing. They're the only team I can see that could beat Green Bay. And sure enough, that's what it came down to. They ended up beating Green Bay. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. Really, that was a pretty lucky deal too. There was a lot of heavenly help, it seemed like, in that game. But then last year they come around. Now granted, the Washington Redskins, who I'm a season ticket holder of, which, you know, it's neither here nor there. I'm not a Dan Snyder fan at all. But the thing about that is the Redskins had a run where, what, they won 6-7 games in a row last year. And that was, you know, you had to win the division because there wasn't going to be a wild card out of the East. New York looked like they just never really had a chance. What happened, Gary, in your opinion?
Well, I think that, defensively that they didn't play as well. They had a bunch of injuries. I think offensively that the offense really struggled the last month of the year. Not having Akeem Nicks healthy the entire year put a lot more pressure on Victor Cruz. Eli was struggling at one point, you know, to throw for 200 yards in a game when, you know, 300 yards was something that he did on a regular basis. And then you also have to factor in that, you know, although you thought they were going to win the Super Bowl the year before, they were just a 9-7 team.
Right.
I mean, they were never a dominant team in the 2011 season. They just got, you know, really, really hot in the playoffs, as they did when they made the Super Bowl run a few years before that. And that has really lended credence to the idea just get in the playoffs and then anything can happen. And, you know, a bunch of wild card teams have won the Super Bowl the last few years. And, I think I always say it's easier to get to the mountaintop than to stay there and to maintain excellence. I think it's easier to achieve it the first time than it is to put back-to-back years together. And, you know, players are told how great they are. Money becomes an issue. The motivation isn't quite the same because they've just won it. So there's a lot of things that play into it. And, you know, they become the biggest game on the schedule each week when you're the Super Bowl champion, you know, for the other team. So it's extremely hard to repeat. And the Giants, you know, were in good position to make the playoffs until late in the year, and they lost those back-to-back games to the Falcons and Ravens very late in the year that, you know, where the season was, you know, hanging in the balance, and they played poorly in both games. So, but I think the Giants will be right there this year. I'm not going to say they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to be right there to win the division. And, you know, as we've seen, anything can happen after that.
Yeah, the one thing that also happened that year, and I'm sure you remember this, and a lot of people won't because, you know, it was a lot more impactful on Green Bay than it was on the Giants, was when Joe Philbin's son drowned. I mean, that was – a lot of people don't remember that, but that was the week before the two teams played. And, I mean, or it might have even been 2 weeks before, but it really just knocked the air out of Green Bay somehow. And they just didn't look the same in the playoffs to me. But listen,
well, they played very poorly against the Giants in that game.
Right.
You know, whether or not that tragedy with Philbin's son, you know, impacted the way they played. I mean, it's an intangible that, you know, obviously is something only the Packers would know, you know, how much that, you know, that really affected their mindset going into that game. But, you know, just on the field, at least, the Giants completely outplayed them.
Oh, yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers didn't play a very good game.
It was horrible. And I think if it impacted anybody, it probably impacted Rodgers because he's extremely close to Philbin. Who, by the way, I think personally, and you know, tell us what you think. I'm going to ask you who your wild cards are here in a minute. But I think Philbin's doing a great job down there. Well, let's do that. We got a couple of minutes left, Gary. Who are your teams? Give me your best team in the NFC and your best team in the AFC to make it to the final game this year. And of course, this is all speculative.
Yeah, I really like the way Seattle was playing late in the year, and they've added some good pieces in the offseason, you know, with Percy Harvin and Cliff Averill, and you would suspect that, you know, Russell Wilson, who had a terrific rookie year, will be even better, you know, in his second season. So I like Seattle in the NFC. In the AFC, I'll look at it like this. Eli played a Super Bowl on Peyton's home field a couple of years ago, so I think that Peyton's got a real good chance to play Super Bowl on Eli's home field. So, you know, as we're sitting here on June 23rd, Bruce, I'll probably change my mind a couple of times before the season starts. I always stick with my Super Bowl pick once I make it officially in the paper.
This isn't official. I won't hold you to it.
I would say I like Seattle and Denver, but, you know, let's see what happens this summer. You know, I want to see if there's any major injuries that would, you know, really, you know, change the outlook, you know, of a team. So, but as we're sitting here in late June, I would say Seattle and Denver.
Yeah, I tell you, Gary, I agree with both of those picks. I really I liked Seattle late last year. And my co-host Roy Edwards, he loved Denver right up until the final minute. All right, Gary, thanks for coming on. Listen, I want to just, if you don't mind, Gary Myers, the author of Coaching Confidential, Inside the Fraternity of NFL Coaches. He's also a New York Daily News columnist, Yes Network, you name it. Gary's done it, one of the greatest NFL insiders of all time. Gary, thank you so much for coming on. I want to have you on the show real soon. Before you know, we'll be playing meaningful games in the NFL. It won't be long.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to come on, Bruce, especially because you're kind of my hometown station here in Westchester.
It's one of the reasons I called that number so quick. I thought it was a station. Gary, thank you so much for coming on. Gary Myers, everybody. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.